For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Welcome everyone from the Bojangles studio high in the mountains of North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. Very special program today. We have visitors from the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia, and there's lots to learn, and I hope you'll stick around. Let me tell you, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and across the country on the SB Nation and wherever WSB 750 and 95.5 that you can hear us would be 800-972-8255. It's my obligation and pleasure to tell you that this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by the Whitetail Institute, Wild Game Food Plot Seeds, Hayes Auto Dealerships, Tough Shed, Striplings, Works Tools, True Turn Hooks, Roadrunner Lures, the Governor's Gun Club in Kennesaw, Georgia, O'Neill's Gun Oils, Real Lubes, Lubes and Deck Cleaners, Snellville Heating and Air, Zach Brown's Southern Grind Knives, Timbuktu and Fisher's Choice Baits, Bodyplex in Alpharetta and Jasper, O'Neill's Outside People and Places along the way, and Rush Creek Guide Service. So at 7 after the hour, I'll have with us today some Department of Natural Resources people. This is one of the best shows that you hear. We do this two times a year with very, very special guests. I want you to stay there throughout the program. Woman Williams is here off camera, but she can watch, listen, read your comments on Facebook at O'Neill Outside. So we've got a busy morning. It's my pleasure and privilege to ask you to watch O'Neill Outside television on the Pursuit Channel, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sun, Fox Arizona, and VOD or Video On Demand networks across the country. So we'll get to all this when we return. This is going to be a really good show, and you need to stick with us. 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. It's the opening day of the weekend, the youth season for turkeys in Georgia, and the big season starts next Saturday, and we have a springtime of turkey season to discuss, and we'll be back. Good morning, all. Welcome to the program. We have with us today, and I'm proud to introduce to you, Julie Rushton. She is a wildlife biologist, turkey, and in charge of the Turkey Project Coordinator. Are you not, Julie?
Yeah, Emily Rushton.
I don't know why I call you Julie. I started out.
It's fine. I'll answer to it.
Okay, so Emily is with us this morning, Emily Rushton. So before we get to the other ragtag guests we have, let's let Emily tell us her credentials, if you will. Why should the audience be listening to you this morning?
Well, I've been with the Department of Natural Resources about 6 years. I was a private lands biologist before we created this turkey biologist position. Mm-hmm. We've actually never had a dedicated turkey biologist with DNR before. It's been handled by our region biologists, but with the attention being paid to turkey now, we've got a dedicated biologist. And I went to the University of Georgia for bachelor's and master's. Go Dogs! So I'm from the state of Georgia, so I'm happy to work with our turkey population here.
Well, you're a native. Well, we'll entertain questions from you today for the audience. And Shane is a Ranger First Class. Where do you live, Shane?
So I'm from Dahlonega, currently signed Lumpkin County here in the mountains, born and raised, love it.
Got a quite a territory to cover too, don't you?
Oh, we do. Our work section, six counties, half of Lake Lanier, Chattahoochee River.
Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy.
Oh, boy. There's not enough of you guys. So let's get to it at 13 after the hour. We're going to entertain questions from the audience this morning and my own. And we just need to turn Julie down a little bit. Julie, see there, I did it. All right, let's see. And you're in guess which one are you?
Guess two.
Guess two? All right, we'll turn her down just a little bit.
Guess one.
Sorry. Well, we'll get through it here. It's 14 after the hour. So let's let me start, okay, with Emily, and by asking, what about the turkey population in Georgia? Up, down, steady, and why?
Well, the past 10 years or so, we've been seeing decreased hunter success, decreased reproduction, not just in Georgia, pretty much all the states in the Southeast. And so that's leading us to believe that our turkey population is down a bit. What we do every year is we do a survey in the summer where we measure the number of poults per hen, and that gives us an index of reproduction and tells us, you know, if our population is growing or decreasing. And the past few years, ever since about early 2000s, it's decreased. 2017 was actually one of the lowest years we've had, so we're concerned about our turkey population, and we haven't really pinpointed a smoking gun why it's decreasing, but it's probably a number of factors.
I see. Now, we might qualify your statements this morning, and you alluded to it just for a moment. What you say about Georgia pretty well leads us to the same thing across the Southeast.
Right, yeah.
As long as it's the eastern wild turkey.
Yes,
okay.
Yep.
Well, but we don't know why it's going down, but it is. The population.
Well, yeah. Well, we don't know if, just to give a little history on wild turkey, we, from the 70s to about the mid 90s, we were involved in some really intensive restoration. We trapped turkeys across Georgia and moved them into areas of suitable habitat. So we were really helping the population boom. So we're not really sure if this, decrease in reproduction is just because the population is sort of steadying out from years and years of an increase, or it could be it's probably a combination of a lot of things, a change in habitat. As you know, the human population of Georgia has increased a lot. So, you know, we've lost some habitat to development. These, you know, changes across the state are probably leading to a decrease in all the habitat types that a turkey needs. So.
Well, that's an easy explanation, because we're losing habitat all the time, so that very well may be that.
It's an easy explanation, but not an easy fix, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. We need to get rid of some of these humans and stop the development. So, good answer. So the population, after years of growth, has steadied out and even declining a little bit. Am I about right? And that's probably for the whole Southeast.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell me, before I get to Shane, this surprise question, what's the difference between an Eastern and a Rio?
Well,
Rio's so much easier to hunt.
They are, yep. Well, I haven't actually hunted Rios, but I can tell you Easterns are pretty smart. They, with such a little brain, they sure can outsmart humans, that's
okay.
For sure.
One other question before I get to Shane then, at 17 after the hour, and that's this. What is the trigger that causes or initiates the breeding season for the eastern wild turkey?
Well, you know, a lot of people think it's weather, but really it's photo period. It's which is a fancy word for, you know, how much daylight, you know, we have. So when the days start getting longer, that is what triggers it, especially in hens. Gobblers can be swayed a little bit by weather, but hens really, their main trigger is going to be the amount of daylight.
Okay. I ask that every time that we do one of these things, and I say that over and over and over and over again, because I want people to understand. People will call me and say, hey, it's going to be cold. Boy, that's going to kick off the breeding season. No, it's not. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It may have some activity, but that's it. Welcome to the program. I appreciate you getting up so early and helping us out. Yes, ma'am.
Before we leave her,
someone already wants to know about is the coyote population.
Ooh.
Is that part of the reason we're seeing the less turkeys?
Well, predators in general in Georgia have increased, you know, in part to due to changes in habitat, and coyotes certainly have increased in Georgia. They're in every county of the state now. But we're actually doing some research with UGA, and they're GPSing turkeys. They have GPS transmitters on turkeys, GPS transmitters on coyotes, and they're looking at those interactions, and they haven't finished the research yet. It's still going on, but what we're seeing is that the coyotes don't have as much influence as other factors on turkey population. They're not a huge nest predator, and they don't really depredate the adults either, but that's definitely something we're still looking at.
Okay. I can't imagine a coyote catching a wild turkey.
No, I don't. I don't know that they catch the adults. They probably will scavenge or ingest the eggs if they come across the nest, if they happen to, but that's going to be more coincidental.
I see. Good explanation. I appreciate that input. Now, that question came in over Facebook, did it not? At
Correct.
On Real Outside?
Correct.
So we'll entertain your questions there. Let me rack this thing up here. I'm still having the same trouble with my...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well.
Do we have any callers? Corey, you'll have to tell me if we do. All right, let's since it's 20, almost 21 after the hour, let's jump into Tim and entertain his question. Welcome, Tim. You'll have to bring him up, Cody. I'm sorry. Oh, man, I've lost,
no,
I lost
he says
everything
you're
now.
He says you're there.
All right, Tim, are you there, sir? No.
Maybe not.
Okay. We'll bring it up if we can. It's almost 21 after the hour. When we return here in just a moment, let me give you the telephone numbers, 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255, and we will chat with Shane and entertain some questions about his role as a officer with the Department of Natural Resources and some recommendations he might make that makes it safer and a fewer violations, if you will, as during the day. You work 6 or 7 days a week now.
Can't tell you that.
Good for you. Okay, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Our guests are Emily Rushton and Shane Brown, and we have more outdoors headed your way in just a few seconds.
Hometown hero at the bar. Burned out highline superstar, you know.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to introduce to you now Ranger First Class Shane Brown. So, Shane, let's get to your role here over the turkey season. What do you do every day? Chase down people who are violating wild game laws?
Yes, sir, pretty much. And while other folks are out hunting turkeys, we're out making sure they're doing it the right legal, moral, ethical way.
Okay, good deal. Now, what's the chief violation that you run across, and what kind of a recommendation would you make to the average turkey hunter over this season?
Probably normally is a license violation. You know, somebody lets their license expire, forgets to check it.
Mm-hmm.
With baiting becoming legal for deer, I think we're probably going to see a increase in people hunting turkeys over bait because they've got their feeders on their clubs now.
Okay.
Forget that they've got corn in it or don't realize that turkeys are still illegal to hunt over bait.
Okay, so you come upon somebody by recommendation and they got the corn feeder running and they're turkey hunting in April. They can't say, well, I'm just deer hunting.
That's right.
It doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work that way.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. There need to be more of you guys out there, sure enough. How long have you been with the DNR?
So I've been with DNR a little over 6 years now.
Uh-huh.
And luckily got to stay in my home territory. So.
Okay. Well, let's divert from the turkey season just for a moment. And what would you say to these neighborhood people here in the mountains that are feeding the bears?
Oh, Lord. Just remember that you're giving a free meal to these animals, and they expect that. So when you cut those free meals off, they're going to be knocking on your door saying, hey, where's my free meal? So mm-hmm. Be careful what you do with them. They're opportunistic feeders, so they're going to keep coming as long as the food's there.
I guess a black bear's an omnivore, isn't it? He eats anything and
anything,
everything.
Literally anything.
Anything and everything. And he's done quite nicely since the last ice age, which was 11,000 years
That's
ago.
Right.
We do not need to feed them, do we?
We do not need to feed them. There's plenty of food there, and if there's not, that's Mother Nature's way of keeping the population in check.
In check, that is right. All right, let's go to help me out with this here. I just lost my picture. Help me out, Corey, and connect me there with Tim. Can you do that?
Okay. Hey, Odell.
Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey,
good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey. Yeah, I'm out here feeding chickens out here in Wilkes County and Green County. I listen to you every Saturday morning.
Thank you. I was just calling.
I didn't know you was going to have a turkey show today, but I was just you always say, take the kids fishing, take the kids do this, hunting and all. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go in the creek to get pittywinkles out of the creek. I don't know the term name for those, but it was so exciting to turn the leaves over one by one to see if there's a pittywinkle or. And sometimes there would be a surprise of a crawfish there every once in a while. I was just wondering if you ever done that. What time period is it that you can get them? I think it's about time right now, is it not?
Yes, it is. Everything's blossoming now, so to speak. Your fall critters are fading, but it's springtime. So, yes, spend some time in the creeks, in the woods with your kids. And it turned out all right for you, and you remember it, so pass it along.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your show.
You bet. You bet. Thank you, and I'll see you soon. There we go. Corey helped me out by dropping that call right there. There we go. So 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Let's stick with Shane just for a moment. What kind of recommendations, other than having a correct license? Okay. Other than having a correct license, all right. I'm not over corn, and I'm not over bait, and I'm turkey hunting. So, what's the other biggest violation, if you will, or what should we be careful of as a deer hunter? Pardon me, as a turkey hunter.
Well, just property boundaries. Make sure you've got permission where you're at. Mm-hmm. You know, there's several apps now that you can get on your phone, HuntWise, HuntStand. That can pretty much show you to a GPS location where property line, property boundaries are,
okay.
And even who owns those properties. So the excuse of I don't know where the property boundary is slowly diminishing these days.
I would imagine so. So make sure you're fully licensed and own the piece of property you are supposed to be on.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, where is it that most of the time that you will run into someone that you need to give a citation because of that we just discussed or on somebody else's property?
That's a big deal. The landowner's calling, hey, I got some folks on my property that I don't want here, that I didn't give permission to, you know, that kind of thing.
And they're carrying guns.
Oh, exactly.
They're carrying guns.
Exactly.
No kidding. So this baiting, baiting for turkeys, I could see that to be a real problem.
You know, it started during deer season because it was legal to hunt deers, but it wasn't bear. So if you're sitting in your stand and a bear comes along and you're, you know, overlooking your feeder and you kill the bear, well, that's illegal.
Yeah.
So it rolls right into turkey season. You still got corn in your feeder. You're wanting to keep the deer fed year-round. Then here comes Mr. Turkey.
Well, you know, I get a lot of calls. People say, now, we're not teaching kids anything because we're not teaching them how to hunt. We're teaching them how to hunt over corn.
That's exactly right. The old mentality of teaching them to get out and look for sign and how to find where the animals are using natural food, people don't teach that anymore. A lot of them don't know.
Yeah. That's the downside. Upside is at least they're in the woods.
That's right.
And that's good.
Yes.
But we can fine-tune that, can we not?
We can.
Absolutely.
And the National Turkey Wildlife Federation, NWTF, partners doing mentored hunts for kids, and those guys really spend some time teaching them the sign to look for turkeys, the droppings, the tracks, you know, where they might roost in a white pine thicket or hemlocks or whatever. They do a great job of that.
Well, I've always said that you need, it's an obligation of a hunter and fisherman to belong to at least two voluntary wildlife organizations. and the Wild Turkey Federation is one you need to be there.
Oh, it's great.
The if other one's QDMA.
If you're a turkey hunter, you need to be a part of those guys.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah. The more you know, the better you can possibly become, and the more successful you can become as a turkey hunter, the more you know. Just like deer season, the deer hunting is not, well, let's just drive out and get in the stand.
They take hunting into killing, and it's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just going out and harvesting an animal is great, but it's about experiencing the outdoors. Being there before daylight, hearing the first crow, hearing the owl hoot, hearing mm-hmm. the gobblers, see first gobble of the morning, that's what it's about.
Oh, yes, indeed. I learned to turkey hunt from a fellow by the name of Roscoe Reams, and every time I hunted with Roscoe, successfully every time, he never called more than three times.
A lot of the easterns in the mountains here, that's you call too much, they'll go the other way.
Oh, absolutely. You run them off.
That's right.
Sure enough. So, all right, over the course of the turkey season, how many instances will you have of violations in which you give warnings or citations?
It varies. It really does from year to year. One year may be up, one year down. As far as whether somebody gets a warning or a citation, it's case-by-case scenario. Mm-hmm. What violations are occurred, how many violations, was their intent there? Did the guy just forget to update his license, or did he legit say, well, I'll wait and spend that money if I kill a bird? I mean,
yeah,
it's up to each officer in each case scenario.
Well, it's a constant game between you and all these hunters. How many hunters will we have in the woods next week for the beginning of the turkey season?
Well, I don't know the numbers on a week-by-week basis, but last year we had about 45,000 turkey hunters in Georgia over the course of the season. And most of our birds were killed in the first 2 weeks, so there will be a lot of people in the woods next weekend.
Oh, my goodness. But now the youth season begins this Saturday.
Starts this morning, that's right.
This morning. Give us the details on the youth season. Give me the qualifications.
So basically, I think it now is actually called a special opportunity hunt. So kids or somebody that's maybe disabled has an opportunity to hunt. Mm-hmm. Must be supervised by an adult, and it's private property only. There's no state or federal lands unless otherwise posted that you're allowed to do that.
Okay. Here at Three Falls Cabin, our little piece of property adjoins the Dawson Forest. How big is the Dawson Forest? And there's a lot of turkeys there, aren't there? Emily?
Well, yes, sir.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but mm-hmm. Dawson Forest is in our assigned area, and it's 25,000 acres, and I have seen a ton of turkeys on this place. So
I see them anytime I'm outside here leaving the property, and I always see a drove of turkeys.
There's plenty of turkeys.
Always.
Dawson Forest. Plenty.
It's fun to blow the horn, and they'll gobble.
They will?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They will.
Stop. Hey, there they are. Honk. Gobble, gobble, gobble. They can gobble like crazy. So, 25,000 acres. Are there for turkey hunting, deer, and everything, Emily, are we utilizing the wildlife management areas, you think?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a lot of areas that are underutilized. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got huge national forests. And really, I think it's not so much acreage that's getting underutilized, but it's this timing. You know, there's turkey season. We have one of the longest turkey seasons in the country. Mm-hmm. And most of the hunters are out the first couple weekends, and then they don't go out. And you have all of April and half of May, and the birds are still out there. They're still gobbling. Once those hens are on their nests, you know, the gobblers will start talking again. So.
Yeah, they're getting mm-hmm. lonely. If you get an answer at 2 in the afternoon, unless you foul up, he's yours.
That's right.
Yeah, just don't get too aggressive. Just mm-hmm. be nice and easy. Call a couple of times. And we're going to talk about the quality of turkey calling and more of the subjects in which that you're in charge of when we get back. This is O'Neill, 404-872-0750-800. 972-8255, and you can be in touch with us also on Facebook at O'Neill Outside, and we'll be back.
Every morning when you come downstairs,
There's a mess, but I don't. In case you've just joined us this morning, a very special O'Neill Outside program for you this morning. We have Emily Rushton. She's a wildlife turkey biologist and in charge of the turkey, what will we call it, the project coordinator. And we have Shane Brown, who is a ranger first class. And we're sticking with the subject as best we can about turkey hunting, law violations, how to stay legal, where to hunt, where not to hunt, and to learn more about the wild turkey. So before we go further, let's go ahead and let's bring up Jim is calling on line number one on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Jim. You're on the radio.
Hey, this is Gene. How you doing this morning?
All right, good, Gene.
Hey, listen, got a question. I was listening to the young lady talk about the coyote population, and I've noticed over the years, at least the last 3 years, I've seen some hens with nests, and on my trail cam, I did see a coyote actually kill the hen. And as I was out in the woods yesterday, I saw where, I would say either coyote or fox had killed another hen. And I do think the coyote population is a problem when it comes to the depletion of the turkeys. Maybe they might want to do a little more research. But from my personal observation, coyotes were the number one culprit in killing hens on my property.
Okay. Emily, would you like to comment, please?
Yeah, I mean, they're an opportunistic predator, and if they come across a hen, then... and when she's sitting on her nest, that's the most vulnerable time of year for her. And she's when she's most likely to, you know, get eaten. So, I mean, I don't doubt it. They absolutely are predators. But, you know, we've got some ongoing research with UGA, and there's a whole suite of issues going on with turkey populations. But, you know, coyotes certainly are part of the puzzle, which is why we're looking at them and why we're tracking them on some of our management areas. So, yeah, thanks for that. I definitely agree.
Gene, next time you see that, kill them.
To be honest, I shot one out my back door yesterday. He bit my,
good for
my
you.
Dog. Yeah, I mean, uh-huh. I dropped him like a bad habit. Thank you so much for taking my call, and young lady, keep up the good work. We need you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, sir. You bet. All right, what were we going to talk about? I'm lost. Oh, was it the property lines and the apps
could
get?
The two that I use is Hunt Stand and Hunt Wise. Mm-hmm. I know Emily was talking about a different one. There's dozens of apps out there and tax maps that overlays on Google Earth and numerous ways to get who owns the property and a pretty good idea of where the boundaries are.
Okay. Good. As far as people that our interested hunters and people who are going to go out for that turkey, after the first couple of weeks, your research tells you that they stop turkey hunting, huh?
Well, they don't stop. We've got some serious hunters who will be out there almost every day of turkey season, but, you know, it's... Our turkey season, like I said, it's one of the longest in the country. And, you know, after those first couple of weeks, harvest really drops. And there are still turkeys in the woods. So, you know, make sure you're utilizing all those days. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not too hot.
Because the hens are on the nest. Gobblers are lonesome. And mm-hmm. if you can get one to gobble about 2 in the afternoon, you're in for some action unless you get up and move around.
Yep.
How about
yep,
that?
Definitely.
So, all right, what are some of the projects, Emily, that you're working on that's going to help with the turkey hunting and turkey population? Give me a little bit of an overview.
Well, we have quite a few surveys that we do every year. We measure how many hours hunters spend in the woods. We have a really good group of hunters that have been volunteering their hunt data to us for years, and we can see, you know, how many hours it takes them to see a bird, how many hours it takes them to harvest a bird. And that gives us an idea of, you know, how many gobblers are in the woods. We also, like I said earlier, we've got our poult survey that we do, our reproductive survey every summer, where we measure the number of poults per hen. And that gives us an idea of how many poults are surviving, you know, how many are hatching, and then how many are surviving long enough to make it through the summer. Because once they make it through that, the first couple weeks, usually they have a better chance of survival. And we also have some research going on with UGA. We've got several students on wildlife management areas in down in the Piedmont, where we're looking at, they're looking at gobbling, how hunting is affecting gobbling. They've got song meters out where they're measuring, they're actually recording gobbles and measuring how many birds are gobbling and when.
Oh.
You know, they've got GPS transmitters on birds. They're going to see where these males are moving. They're actually going to give some hunters that have volunteered to hold GPS units too, to see where the gobblers are moving when the hunters are in the woods, and see if the hunting affects them. Yep.
And where would an interested turkey hunter, where would he retrieve this information, the results of that information?
Well, we're hoping, you know, at the end of the season to maybe get some preliminary results. We always post updates on this research on our Facebook page, our Wildlife Resources Division page. We have a blog, news releases. So we've got numerous ways that we try to get this information out to hunters. So,
oh boy, that's terrific. You have to look at everything long term.
Right, right. This study is in the second or third year of at least, and we've got at least two more years to go. So
I see. Well, people ask me frequently, what do I think about what the DNR does? And my answer is, whatever they are doing, I'm 100% for it. 100% believe it. They know, they're scientists. It's not turkey camp or deer camp gossip.
It's not. Thank you. I appreciate that. We all do.
Sure enough. You have something on Facebook, honey?
Not right now.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's chat now with Jim about turkey hunting. And Jim is calling from Monroe, I believe. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Professor O'Neill. I appreciate the fellow getting on there and the young lady getting on there with y'all. I have
good,
two questions, because I know we've got limited time. I know today is the hunt for kids and the other people that are with children. Is that also not only on WMAs, but is that also on private leased property too? That's my first question.
Shane?
It's private property unless otherwise posted. There's probably a few WMAs across the state that allow it. We don't have any in the area we're at here.
Okay.
So it's private property only.
All right.
All right. Now, number two question. Sometimes when I hunt, I do see coyotes. Is it legal for me to have a firearm while hunting with a shotgun for turkeys in the event that I do see a hog or a coyote?
Good question, Shane.
If you're on private property, absolutely 100% legal, and get rid of those coyotes. If you're on either state or federal property, then you must harvest that coyote with whatever's in season. So it would be shotgun only for the turkeys.
Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Thank y'all very much for your time and your service. And I do appreciate what y'all do, even though sometimes y'all think we don't, but we do. We really appreciate it.
Good
deal.
Thank you,
Professor O'Neill. You have a good day.
I appreciate that comment. Good luck to you this season. You bet. 49 after the hour. Now let's chat with John. He's calling from Peachtree City, I think. John, good morning. This is O'Neill. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. Quick question. I'm hunting a 60-acre piece of property, private property, for hogs and coyotes. Been seeing a lot of turkey. Was interested in taking my son, but is there a limit or a distance that you can be from a feeder and still be legal?
Ooh, boy, good question.
So we always revert back to the old 200 yards out of sight deal. Mm-hmm. That way there's no chance that you could take that or harvest that animal from that distance. So I would
200 yards.
200 yards out of sight.
Okay.
200 yards from the feeder, you can shoot a bird.
Yeah,
and
be out of sight.
You can't be in sight of the feeder.
Gotcha. Last question is, do you think the hogs affect the turkey patch?
Ooh, do hogs affect the turkey population?
Well, they, as far as like direct, nest predation or anything like that, doubtful. But they definitely compete for resources. They... They also can alter habitat. They, you know, cause a lot of disturbance in areas that they come in. And, yeah, they're just generally an overall nuisance. And, you know, not only with habitat disturbance, just direct disturbance of the birds themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're, you know, they come in. I know anyone who's planted a food plot and then had hogs come in is probably knows how much of a nuisance they are.
I can testify they can ruin a hunt. They can ruin a turkey hunt.
Yep. So
turkey bird up right on your way, and then you hear the hogs coming, and the turkey turns and he leaves.
But yeah, they, you know, just the way they can, their population can explode in an area, they can definitely be compete for resources.
Oh, yeah. They are, and they are prolific. Oh, my goodness.
They will, yes, they can, they have babies year-round. Mm-hmm. I wish that turkeys could breed as well as hogs could.
Yeah, no kidding. So, okay, good question. Good question, John.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Stay in touch with us more often, sir. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Nationwide, Seattle to California to Maine to South Florida. This is O'Neill Outside on the SB Nation and WSB AM 750 and 95.5 FM. And, of course, on Facebook also. And if you missed the show, it'll be on YouTube by Monday, I think, or something of that nature. So let's talk further about this mix it up on the turkey project with this with the hogs, okay? And this will involve both of you. Is hogs a year-round target?
Yes, sir.
He's open year-round.
Yes, sir. Get rid of them. They're bullies.
Yeah, yes, they are bullies. See that one? Well, you can't see it because of the light. That was a 500-pounder.
Wow.
Yeah. I took that thing in South Georgia almost by accident. I was leaving the woods, and he walked out in front of me. And I got out and made good use of my time,
That's right,
to speak. And then I dressed him out in the back of the truck. Oh, man, what a mess.
What a mess.
Oh, boy. So, yes, ma'am.
Do we have time for a question?
We have not really, but let's talk about it anyway, and then I'll get to it after.
Well, I believe it. I'm having a little trouble understanding it, but I believe it refers back to what you can carry into the woods when you're deer hunting in order to care. I mean, any kind of hunting, in order to shoot coyotes. If you're have a legal carry permit, can you take a handgun or a larger caliber handgun on a wild WMA? Does that sound right?
So if you've got a carry permit, then absolutely you can carry a handgun with you at any, you know, any time. Mm-hmm. What they're trying to keep people from doing is taking a long gun in there, quote, coyote hunting and shooting a turkey with it. And that's why when you're on state or federal property, you have to harvest them with whatever's in season. So if
I see
turkeys are in season, it's legal to have a shotgun. Coyote comes through or a hog comes through, you shoot them with a shotgun.
Okay.
If it's deer season, you got a long gun, then you harvest them with those.
Okay.
But that's only on WMA or federal property. If you're on private property, take your shotgun and your rifle and have
all right. I'm going to ask this question, and we'll get to the answer when I get back. What about a muzzleloader? A muzzleloader bullet to hunt turkeys in Georgia. Okay, we'll get to that. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to O'Neill Outside. We have with us today Emily Rushton and Shane Brown, and I have a question for Shane in connection with the firearms that are legal for turkey hunting. Can I use a muzzleloader with a bullet for turkey hunting?
Muzzleloaders, bow and arrow, shotguns.
Okay.
For the turkeys.
So I can shoot a turkey with a bullet if I wanted to. And I have. But, okay. Well, that's good. And we touched on, maybe repeating ourselves, but it's all right. However, if you have a carrying permit, you can carry a pistol into the woods with your shotgun for turkey hunting.
You can carry it with you for personal protection. You just can't use it to harvest a bird.
Use it to harvest a bird.
Right. That's absolutely right.
Okay, I had something else in the short period of time we have for Emily, and that is license fees have gone up. Thank goodness. haven't they? How long has it
for
been?
For the first time since 1992, mm-hmm. we were you know, lagging behind in the Southeast as far as license fees. And, you know, and then luckily that bill passed in 2017, and we've already done quite a bit with the increase in license fees, the revenue we've gotten from it. We've I think we've got a lot more law enforcement officers coming on.
Good.
We've increased our road maintenance on our wildlife management areas, increased access. I know that was a big thing that a lot of people really wanted, to increase access on our WMAs. We're improving our shooting ranges, opening some new shooting ranges. So that's these are all things that, you know, the public expressed that they wanted to be done with these license revenue, with this license fee increase. And so we've hired some new technicians too. And actually, you know, my position now is a new position. So mm-hmm. thank you well, for the, purchasing your licenses.
I wish it won't, but I would wish that more of our tax monies, permits, license fees were more directly used for the purpose that we were charged.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, with wildlife management, there's an act that was passed, you know, 100 years ago, yeah. maybe.
The Pittman-Robertson.
Pittman-Robertson Act, that taxes on all your hunting and fishing equipment goes directly back to the states. There's a 3-to-1 match with state revenue. So when you purchase, you know, your guns and ammo and archery equipment, it all goes right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.